Dieter and Jake on a Friday before they play in Tampa Bay. I made a song out of it. Hi, Jake. How are you?
I'm good, Dieter. How long did you sleep last night? Started this episode singing.
Not a lot. It's not going great over here. By the way, I'm having a second kid. I'm killing it. And by that, I mean my body, my corporal form. I'm killing it.
I love it.
Okay. That said, I am kind of interested in what's going on in this football game. Let's quickly go over what we know about the San Francisco 49ers. First and foremost, Christian McCaffrey is going to be active for this game. I don't know how much he's going to play, but he's going to be active. How much do you think he's going to play?
Talking snap counts or
sure. Roll snap counts, anything of the sort.
I think it's going to be lighter in the first half than the second half. Okay. Depending on how the game goes, unless they start running away with it. Possibly. But, you know, it's Kyle. So, you know, it's one of those things where you go, oh, a reasonable quantity would be, nope. I don't know, 20 snaps. And then Kyle just uses him the entire game. I don't think that's the way they're going to handle it, given that their entire season rests upon his Achilles.
His oh so fragile tendons.
Right, right.
Just both a little, of which are already frayed.
Right, little German-infused string beans.
Got that Regeneron tendons. Going, baby.
Yeah, nothing to worry about there. I would say I think they're going to use him in the red zone. Anytime they get down in the red zone, I think he should just be in the second they hit the 20. Okay. Go to McCaffrey. That seems reasonable to me. Makes sense. You know, third downs probably at an increasing rate, or just every third down. Who knows?
If I had a bet, they just ride him like the mule he is.
Yeah.
Just walk him down the Grand Canyon to the career demise on the other side. Just Kyle doesn't know how to control himself. When he kept him out there in Washington last year, it's like, oh,
yeah,
he can't.
He's like, it'd be fun to get him the touchdown. It's like he's your entire season.
It wasn't so fun when he was so worn down by the second quarter of the Super Bowl that, yeah. So, right. You know, but you had a lot of good times at FedEx Field. Really
I will
show
say,
Dan Snyder that before he got $4 billion to leave. Really showed him.
He did show him. I'll put it at 25 snaps.
25 snaps. Okay. I'll take the over. We got a little $1 bet there. I'm taking the over on 25 snaps.
We're setting up a segment for later in the show.
That is called foreshadowing, and I'm looking forward to that segment immensely. I don't know what to look forward to with Juwan Jennings because he had this hip injury, and now he's out there practicing, and that's a good thing, right? Like, he doesn't have the hip injury anymore. But the hip injury was so weird that, like, I don't really trust what he's doing on a practice field yet. There's something off about this Jennings situation. It's one of those things that in 2 weeks I'll be like, oh, I never said that on a podcast. Dude, it's totally fine. But like, as of right now, I'm like, there's something weird there and I can't quite put my finger on it. But what are you thinking?
It's you don't often hear of, like, I don't know, hip injury is weird. It could just, you know, it could be
maybe got a
bone bruise or yeah, who knows? Who knows, which we will all need one day. Yeah, he was moving all right
around his neck during the game, like most people in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it was most other wide receivers, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But Jennings is just such a guy that I feel like would take a pummeling, which is why I think you worry a little bit more, because you're like, what is keeping him out?
Like, right. Yeah,
you want to talk about a mule. Yeah. Right. Like, Juwan Jennings is a guy that's just going to take punishment. So for him to be out, yeah, I think it had to be pretty serious. I think the fact, not pretty serious, but notable, I think the fact that he got that week off is helpful. But I'm going to keep my eye on that, on how he moves, and McCaffrey back probably puts a little less on him. But also, again, I think Kyle, like we just said, is going to ride whoever he trusts, and he trusts Jennings. So...
Yeah, you know. I go on Larry Kruger's show on Thursday nights, and actually I went on Niners Nightly on KMBR. Shout out KMBR, a much better radio station than any other radio station in town. Well, and way to defend your guys there.
Let's not go so far. I don't know about that.
Let's not get aggressive here. So I'm on Niners Nightly on Tuesdays. You should be listening every day, 6 to 7. And And Larry asked me, why do I think the Niners are a better team in the second half than they are in the first? And I wish I had thought of this before. I wish I had talked to you beforehand about this exact subject, because the answer is clearly Kyle doesn't care if his guys die. That's what happens in the second half. They have nothing to lose anymore. So Kyle just runs right. his horses right into the ground. And that's why they end up losing in the playoffs when they don't get home field advantage. But in the years where they do have home field advantage, it's like, oh, well, we'll pull off the accelerator a little bit, unless it's Christian McCaffrey. We'll lighten up. And then they lose in the Super Bowl. But you know,
and then they pull off too far, and then they get too much rest.
If they could only get the Super Bowl back in Santa Clara, I think it's 2026, then yes. the perfect yeah. plan. It all lines up for Kyle. No planes, no problem.
Isn't it next year?
Yeah, it's next year.
Next year. They're also hosting like a bunch of other stuff. World Cup.
Yeah, NBA All-Star Game in February.
Yeah.
Whatever this Giants season is about to be. Go Valkyries. That's, right. That's my new Giants slogan. Go Valkyries.
We're just going to start wearing Halloween wings on our back to represent the Valkyries.
This will be a Valkyries only podcast come the summer. Valk talk. Men Great. Talking lady hoops.
Hell yeah.
Everyone wants that, right? That's not cringe yeah. at all. Okay, what else do we need to talk about with this Niners team? John Feliciano's back. He's out here.
Maybe. Kyle said, I believe Kyle just said he's not sure if they're going to activate him. Probably
I don't
not.
Think he was going to play anyway, but he's right. he is yeah. present and accounted
yeah, he's
for.
Back. Chris
I think it lends a question, though. Sorry, not to get with Furster.
Well, he was asked, like, what is his role? He's like, he's a backup. He's definitely a backup. He's not starting. He's a backup.
Don't put in the paper that he's starting.
Said it very clearly.
Yeah, I saw that.
Felt like a statement to his starting players that your jobs are not at risk.
You guys are doing great. You guys are doing great. Don't worry about it. Yeah. No, we're just giving it a once over. No, it's fine. That's fine.
We'll see.
He's definitely going to start by the end of the year. But it does lend itself to a question. What is Ben Bartsch?
I don't know. I think
I forgot he was on the team.
I was trying to debate who's the odd man out when they bring Feliciano back. And it feels like Bartsch. Right? You just do an offensive lineman for an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like with McCaffrey, they got to kick somebody out. So,
Ronnie Bell? No, probably don't want to get rid of receivers at this point.
That's the debate.
Maybe also, Ben Bartsch.
Yeah, it might just be Bartsch. You don't really want to lose Patrick Taylor. You could do the thing where you just put him on the practice squad and then bump him up for the game, because then now you have a billion running backs. And do you really need that many? But he's also been pretty great at special teams, and
yeah,
he's big.
Just to say something. Looking at the depth chart, who can they get rid of? This is a tough one. I mean, Bartsch is out. Braden Willis or Tonjes.
Yeah. Probably
this
Willis.
This is the kind of sicko Willis energy that we like to we like to have. Just who's about to lose their job? Everyone's
right.
favorite podcast game.
Switching up. So I'm looking at this game, and you know, there's some games where we get really in the weeds about this stuff.
Not today. Not today, Satan.
The only thing I think is really notable about this team, because it's like, if McCaffrey is back and McCaffrey is good, they're going to beat the Bucs. That's my opinion.
I think they beat the Bucs fairly handily without McCaffrey. But
I agree. I also think,
I mean, I can give you one name as to why. Tyreek Funderburk.
You're not a real player?
Funderburk. Not just a real player, my friend. The starter at cornerback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers per the R Lads depth chart. Tyreek Funderburk.
I don't even see that name.
It's in gold because he's a rookie. Undrafted
That's
rookie.
Fucking, oh my God.
Tyreek?
Oh, but it's Tyreek with one E.
Funderburk.
So Tyreek. Wait,
Tyke Smith, who's a decent enough player, and then Zion McCollum,
who's like the number one rated corner in the league, but he's only playing zone. By the way, that's what I was trying to get at, is this team plays zone a ton. And so, like, as much as their corners are solid, they really are not asked to play man coverage, press man at all. Mm-hmm. It's very, very limited. And that's really all teams have been throwing at the Niners. So if you get, like, Debo, who's not at all looked at himself, looked like himself. Yeah, they throw 77% zone, which is fifth in the league, 26th in man coverage. Like, if you give Debo zone, that's how Debo thrives. And
what they're doing is the Brian Flores school of we need to cover up our deficiencies by being like hyper aggressive. And then you get, as I love to call them, the conjoined triangles of success on the outside. And they'll play a lot of quarters. They'll do a lot of that. But like, you can do the conjoined triangles of success to cover up your weaknesses in the secondary when you have Stephon Gilmore, who is slow, but Stephon Gilmore is former defensive player of the year, is he not? Like, he's clearly of a high caliber as a mental player. Like, the dude knows how to play corner. That, you know, Joshua Metellus knows how to play that quasi linebacker, the star position spot. Like, Byron Murphy, been in the league forever. So they're using their smarts to trick quarterbacks. Essentially, what Minnesota does is they put all these guys on the line. They have Van Ginkle, who I loved, and I thought the Niners should have got him. They have him moving all around. They got everybody moving all around. They got Jerry Tillery and Harrison Phillips just punching dudes in the neck at the line of scrimmage. And then on the back end, they're basically saying, you're going to throw the ball. You're going to throw the ball fast. So what you need to do is decide if we're going to drop into a cover two or a cover four, dimes or quarters. And sometimes you guess wrong, and sometimes you get intercepted. But you can do that when you have smart guys who know what they are showing, and then I know what you know that you know what I know. And I don't think Tyreek Funderburk is at that level.
And I just think having a full week off to recover and prepare and, you know, have McCaffrey back in the fold and get Jennings back in the fold, which are really
else for the vibes.
Those are just the two guys where all of last year, and basically since they acquired McCaffrey, it's just when it's third down, when someone blitzes, you go to one of those two. Mm-hmm. And one of those two will probably be open, or Kittle. And that's those are usually also the their hot answer. Right, right. Or occasionally it would be Ayuk, and they'd run him on a glance route, and it would just win, which Pearsall can do. So,
but Jake, what you're saying, you said it, though. Why would it be Ayuk on the glance route? Well, he's the X. Well, Jennings, when he came in, was the X, right? Like, he played a lot of X against the Rams when he had that huge game. He was the X in that game. So, I think Pearsall is going to have a nice game. I have Pearsall, if you want to, you know, want a number on it. I mean, you get Pearsall plus 250 to score a touchdown in this game. I might be interested in such dalliances out there. But, you know, Juwan Jennings plus 195, if you're so inclined. Terrible team against tight ends, terrible team against running backs, terrible team against wide receivers, bad defense. Yeah. And I think they might be sound. I think that it's hard to be. This is the thing. So, like, when they played Arizona, right, Arizona didn't have the talent, but they were really sound defensively. Like, everyone knew the spots to be. And Todd Bowles is a very good defensive coordinator. He's put together championship caliber, championship winning defenses. But he doesn't have the personnel to do it. And instead of saying, okay, well, we'll just take our licking, but be really sound. I appreciate this. Hats off to Todd Bowles. He's like, what if we just tried to fuck shit up for 60 straight minutes? And the answer is, it's sometimes it might work. And sometimes you might lose by 40. But like, we're going to have some fun. And you got Baker Mayfield as your quarterback. And these dudes are chaos agents.
Did you see that one clip of Todd Bowles where somebody was like, Todd, how are you feeling? And Todd Bowles, by the way, I'm as a former Jets fan, very, very deadpan. If you've watched any of his press conferences,
Todd Bowles does not give you anything. Apparently Todd the Bowles nicest is, dude behind the scenes, though.
Todd Bowles is borderline asleep at every press conference. Very nice. Very, very just what you
he
get.
Sounds
what
like
you
he sounds like he goes, a lot.
Yeah. And he's looks just like kind of nodding. And he's like, we're going to, you know, professorial. Pretty to the point. And somebody asked Todd Bowles, like, Todd, like, how are you feeling? And he just, it's like he was doing a bit, but he doesn't do bits. So he just scared everyone. And he goes, his eyes pop wide and he goes, I'm excited. And he starts screaming. And everyone goes, Huh.
Ah, who is this man? He's been possessed by a spirit.
And he slams the podium. I recommend everybody go and look that up because it was both weird. Horrifying and delightful to watch. So I forget where I was going with that. Other than that, I just remembered that.
I'll go this area. I love it. I love our sides. I wouldn't trade him for the world, Jake. But I'm pretty sure that this is also, I think a lot of people want to put the sort of, they got to win, they must win, all this stuff. And yeah, duh. Like, you're 4-4. Right. You probably shouldn't be 4-5 if you're trying to win the Super Bowl or make the playoffs. Just a thought. Like, doesn't take, I think my toddler can explain that. Like, oh, that seems bad. That's a negative number. You shouldn't do that. But I'll say this. You better take advantage of this game in particular, regardless of the record, because the Niners, as we've talked about ad nauseum, have massive rest disadvantages all season. And there's still some rest disadvantage to be achieved here with the Green Bay and Buffalo situation down the stretch. And I think the Rams in week 15, something to that effect. There's still some bad rest disadvantage. You have just the all-time rest advantage going into this game. Not only are you coming off a bye, but they played a short week away from home. And oh yeah, it took 83 offensive snaps because it went to overtime. If you can't beat them, you don't deserve anything.
Here's what this sets up to me. You remember back, I think it's 2019, they opened with the Bucs on the road, and that sort of set them.
Yes, that would have been the Reuben Foster game.
Yeah, Quan Alexander returned.
Reuben Foster had his lady friend visit the hotel at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think that was 2018. Reuben Foster was gone by 2019.
They opened with, you're right, because that was Thanksgiving of 2018.
Yeah.
Apologies to Reuben Foster and his lady friend.
Well, I don't know about that. 2019, they went to the Bucks, and I think that Quan Alexander returned, and they started off hot.
Legendary.
And it sort of got them going that season.
Yeah.
I just think you look at this game, I think, obviously, I'm not going to be like, the process matters more than the result. The result matters. A lot. But I think it's like if the offense starts to look more like what it's supposed to look, you get a win, and then the offense is like back to sort of theoretically where it should be, and then you can beat Seattle, they got that big Jackson Smith and Jigba game, but they're messy.
They're messy.
We thought they were definitively
Seattle, and they don't have the talent to overcome their nature.
We were both thought maybe McDonald at this point, this would be the tougher game. They look worse than the last time I think they faced him. And
they have a little bit of pass rush now, which is saying
their offensive line is recovering a little bit. We'll see. It's not going to be in. We'll see.
I got a little bit of De Niro face going for our podcast listeners.
A situation where I think you can get that and you get the offense in a good spot. And then all of a sudden, I know we're looking ahead here, but you've won two games, right? And then you go on the road with a grueler and you got the Packers and the Bills. I think you can beat the Packers. I think they're going to get gutted by Josh Allen just in Buffalo. We'll see.
I think what you're saying is accurate. I have very little faith that they beat the Packers.
Fair enough. Those are two really tough games. But I'm saying if you get the
offense. You go 1-1, now you're really rolling.
My point is that if they get the offense to where they are, against the blitz, they have figured out where to set the hots up to, which for some reason they haven't been able to figure out. I think because McCaffrey was a major component of that. Mm-hmm. McCaffrey is healthy, and Pearsall is healthy, and your receivers, if you're healthy and you're getting answers to these problems that you've had, your protection's still not going to be great.
No,
but you're getting the ball out to where it's supposed to go, and Purdy's not looking like he's fearing for his life every play, and he's starting to scramble in the right ways rather than as a default.
Right.
I think you've got a real shot to at least split those. The Bears, who knows what the Bears are going to be in that game. They could be looking good. They could be a total disaster. I lean more towards disaster.
That's a good bet.
But if you come out of that and then you're in December and you've got, say, 4, and even if you lose those two games, you're 4-2, mm-hmm. you got a shot. Rams,
you have 4. Dolphins. You already have 8 wins in the bag. All you need is, you'll know if you need 9 or 10 at that point.
Right.
What I'm hearing you say is that this game is, one, an opportunity for the 49ers to actually implement the game plans that they put in training camp, right? oh, they can't figure out where the hots are and all. Like, they knew they had an offensive line that couldn't protect well in the pass game going right into the season. Like, even without Trent Williams, they're like, well, even if Trent comes in, we're going to still have these issues the other four spots.
Yeah.
But so much of the game plan was around McCaffrey and him as the, you know, he's the hot. Or the X is the hot, but you weren't practicing that. And so you didn't want to throw it to Ronnie Bell on the, you know, on these practice reps. And so, and then you do throw it to Ronnie Bell and you're like, oh, that wasn't a good decision. He's playing volleyball out here. Never got the memo. We're playing professional football. He's a libero. He's just setting. And
wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
And
No. Let's take a moment for Dieter calling out a libero. Wow. I've covered some women's volleyball back in college and I'll be honest, awesome sport.
Oh, so, yeah, women's volleyball. A sneaky good television sport as well.
Oh, it's sick.
Just don't
it's
let your wife catch you watching it. And so what are you doing? Watching volleyball. these ladies are tall, except for the libero. They are tiny. What I'm hearing you say is that this is very similar, we'll see in practice, but in theory, to the Jacksonville game last year. You might remember, obviously, the circumstances a bit different. Massively different, but the Niners not feeling so hot going into that game with Jacksonville. Losers of three straight games. No Debo, no Trent in two of the prior three. They lose three, and everyone's wondering, like, these boys frauds? And then they go to Jacksonville, who was playing some decent football at the time. The Jaguars weren't the tire fire that they are this year or every other year save for two in the history of their franchise. They looked like they were going somewhere. They had made the playoffs the year before, all this stuff. And they went in and they just absolutely curb stomped.
Yeah.
Jacksonville. And then you're like, oh, okay, everything's fine. And then the offense was humming again. It was just a confidence builder.
Purdy had the throw of the season to Kittle.
Exactly. So this feels like that kind of opportunity, right? Here's a right. You're going to be loose. You got the humidity in your joints. It's 90 degrees outside. Let's do this thing. And that's an opportunity. Also, you're in a game that's inherently loose. You got a swashbuckler of a quarterback, three running backs. You don't know who's going to be coming, who's going to be going. I do think that we should note Liam Cohen, the OC for Tampa Bay, very, very good at his job.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was watching them, and everything with their offense is quick. Like, everything is, like, we don't have the weapons anymore. Let's do things quick.
Liam Cohen was the former offensive coordinator at Kentucky, and was Sean McVay's right-hand man on the offense beforehand? Are we thinking of other offensive coordinators at Kentucky?
We are, in fact, thinking of...
He can go back. He's got nothing to hold him back.
who are you referring to, Dieter?
Our good friend Rick.
Richard Scangarello, who is no longer employed with the Raiders, I believe.
Well, don't worry. I'm sure... Caleb Williams can bring him in as his personal quarterbacks coach in case it hasn't already started to go entirely wrong over there in Chicago. Regardless, they bring in Liam Cohen and they're like, oh, fuck, that's what offense looks like. And Kentucky with, some mediocre dudes, frankly, talent wise. I mean, it's still SEC. I'm not pretending as if, we turn Fresno State into a juggernaut or anything, but like, Kentucky, consistently an underdog, consistently overmatched, defensive-minded head coach, always had a pretty good offense with Liam Cohen. I think it was 2 years when he was quarterback, so whatever. And you would watch him and you go, oh, this is what it looks like. This is a guy with some ideas. This is a guy who's out here mixing it up. And it's not always going to work. You can see where the execution failed, but he was putting his guys in good positions to make something happen, and he was challenging defenses at least mentally, if not physically. He's doing that again this year with Tampa. And he's got a quarterback who I think a little bit of nature, a little bit of nurture. The offense is built around what Baker's good at, which is quick decisions, getting the ball out, keeping it going, playing with some Mo, Big 12 football, keep it going. But like they put Bucky Irving in the wing T.
Yeah. By the way, he's
Kansas City.
He's really awesome. He's like,
if you're so inclined, 29 and a half rushing yards over. The game,
he has a unique cutting ability that is just deeply fun to watch, where he puts his foot in the ground and just like shakes dudes consistently, like 3 or 4 yards after the line of scrimmage. It's always in that spot.
He's hitting dudes at 45 degrees every time. It's really interesting.
It's like kind of the rocker step. Like Pearsall got somebody with a rocker step and broke out.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like that. But he's fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I mean the knee could
sound and tackling.
Yeah, absolutely. So good luck to the San Francisco 49ers on that front. I mean, good luck to any team in the NFL, but D. Winters, maybe sit this one out. Okay, so I like Tampa. I think this could be a shootout game, frankly, because I have a hard time seeing Tampa's defense slowing down the 49ers offense, even with all the question marks that we have on the 49ers offense, even if Christian McCaffrey spends the entire game on the bench because I'm just not ready, you guys. Something like that happens. It's not a big deal. Right. You have Pearsall, who I expect big things from in the second half. You have some Jennings. You have Debo. Maybe he'll be wearing cleats that match the 49ers uniform colors as opposed to his uniform colors, which is apparently blue. That gave me the ick. Won't be able to unsee it. Don't enjoy that energy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Debo has been wearing a blue no contact practice jersey. And
I thought it was kind of sick.
I'm not disagreeing that it's swaggy, but he is like, I'm wearing a no contact jersey. I should get a pair of shoes to match. How often do you plan on wearing the no contact jersey here, Deebs? Like, how
long? Deebs.
Yeah. You gotta throw a little pejorative nickname on it.
Right.
Like
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're in the NFL. You got a big contract. I would probably buy some cool shoes.
I don't like the conceit of that. Not that Debo's conceited in that. But
talking about shoes.
I'm talking about shoes. I don't like the optics of that. I'm just gonna old white guy this thing. I'm going all in. I don't care. It's a little weird that you feel that you're gonna be wearing a blue no contact practice jersey so much that you need to get something to match it. You know, like that. That's a little strange.
Maybe, but he had the bye. Maybe he knew. He's like, all right, I can get a pair.
I just feel like that's conceding injury. That like you're in a mental place where you're like, it's like antithetical to football, and it's very antithetical to the concept of Debo.
Like, well, yeah, sure. Well, I just want people to know that when I was in high school, I bought the Nike like Hyper Dunks that measured your vertical, and all I did was jump as high as I could, and I would tell my sisters, "Watch."
Yeah.
I had a good vert. I couldn't dunk, but I got close ones. And my knees are decrepit. Toast. My knees are cooked.
Dwayne Wade knees, just bone on bone.
Oh yeah, there's no cartilage remaining.
No,
it's just a rat. You never rattle your keychains in your pocket. It sounds a little bit like that when I walk.
Just loose.
An ungreased wheel. This is our best podcast yet.
WD-40 them knees. I didn't care for it. Not that like. Enough. Not that it personally offended me. It just, I've sounds never like it seen. No, it's not a moral or an ethical stance. It's just something that I'm like, oh, this is columnist brain, right? You're looking for anecdotes. It. You're looking for little insightful things from the sidelines, something that happens in a tunnel,
right?
It's an energy thing. And then what you're going to do is you're going to blow that up as to the reason, not the reason why, but like a foreshadowing, right? This is story structure. And if Debo just spends the rest of the season maybe playing, maybe not playing, the fact that he went out and bought blue shoes to match his no-contact practice jersey, I mean, that's the lead right there, baby. And I'm like, you can't make it so easy for me, Debo. You're just walking right into this. Here's your narrative. I'm so injured that I needed to get matching shoes. That's the narrative for Debo Samuel. They were sweet-ass shoes, though. Got to give him some credit on that. They were fly as fuck. But
I disagree. I think they look cool.
I never said they didn't look cool. I'm just saying that they hinted at a subconscious aspect of things that I didn't care for admitting. Okay. So we both think the Niners are going to win, right?
Think the Niners are going to win. I don't really have any reason to believe otherwise.
Yeah. They're 6-point favorites on the road. Vegas certainly thinks that they're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that sounds right. That's one of the first lines I've fully agreed with for the Niners.
It's a saucy line. It's a saucy line. I haven't looked too deep into it to see where the money is and how they've been moving it, but I get it. And it's, you know what? If this was in San Francisco, it'd be probably 10 because of the 83 snaps, because of the rest disparity, because of Christian McCaffrey. There's a lot there. So I think the Niners win too, and I think that it would be beneficial to the San Francisco 49ers if they didn't make a whole thing out of it. Yep. Like they did with Dallas, like they did with Seattle. Like it was all, it's like it's such a to-do.
Like in the second half, don't let them hang around. And although Todd Bowles, you know, is probably one of the few coaches in the NFL who's a more frustrating game manager to fans than Kyle Shanahan.
Well, he's got to do something.
Yeah.
It's not a good, football team. Honestly, they're punching above their weight. And if I were to make a bet on a team that just completely falls apart in the second half, come on down, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, but I will say, going back to our season preview, I said, look out for the Bucs, and you shot me down.
I just did not like
their two best wide receivers.
So. Yeah, and there was something there on offense, to be sure. And I knew that.
They're a little feisty.
But my favorite thing, whenever I would talk to a third party, which I do sometimes, I promise you, is they'd be like, well, they still have Levante David. You mean the Levante David that was drafted in 2012? The Levante David?
And is actually not the oldest linebacker in the NFL, as we found out a couple weeks ago.
Like, you mean that guy? It's like, oh, well, they have Antoine Winfield. You mean the one who hasn't looked the same since he signed the contract? You mean that one? Maybe because the players around him aren't as good. Listen, Antoine Winfield's a wonderful player, but like not a fundamental game changer. I like Jordan Whitehead more than most. I loved him coming out of Pitt. I think he's a really good player. Jordan Whitehead ain't the answer. Tyreek Funderburk, name their pass rusher. You know, like Yaya Diaby. Come on now.
Yeah, Louisville. Come on, man.
Come on. Anthony Nelson, William Golson. Ernest
Brown. They got a mix of young guys and old, but I don't know.
Young guys aren't there yet. The old guys are over the hill, and Vita Vea is incredible, but is a little bit. I don't know if Vita Vea is going to play in this game. There's some question too, if you will. Okay,
we'll see. Should we get into our over unders?
We have a game. It's called over under. Second half over unders, and these are specific props that I think, much like Debo's shoes, lead to a larger contextual conversation.
We're going to have a conversation.
We're going to have a dialogue. We're going to start a dialogue here. Let's just run into it. Okay. Ricky Pearsall, starting X receiver, presumably. Could be Juwan Jennings. But number one X receiver, Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall. Over or under 400 receiving yards in the second half. 8 games, that's 50 yards a game.
Nope. Once again, it's 9 games.
Thank you. It is 9 games. I hate new schedule.
I know. I will take the over on Ricky Pearsall.
400 yards.
I do think there is very much a world where he gets like iced out of a few games and has like a 20 or 30 yard one. But I also think with McCaffrey back, there's going to be some better looks for him, and he might have one or two, 120, 90. And if he has that in, let's say, even 2 games, then that probably gets him there. So I will take the over and say, I'm going to say 437 for the rest of the year.
So to be blunt here, I like everything you just said, and I do agree with it. I'm taking the under, and here's why. Debo, I'm counting out. I'm out. It was before the shoes. I'm out. You watch the film. He's a shell of his former self, okay? So defenses don't have to treat him as earnestly as they once did. And Kyle can't use him as imaginatively as he once did. So there's that. You have Jennings back in the fold. I am expecting Jacob Cowing to be a big part of this offense moving forward. I think that takes some snaps away from Pearsall, because I think Jennings is the number one in Kyle's mind for this offense. With Debo not requiring the attention, with Jennings not deserving physically the attention, you're not double teaming Juwan Jennings. He single teams himself. Now, he'll still catch it, but he single teams himself.
Yeah.
And because, yes, you have McCaffrey in the backfield, but do we think that Christian McCaffrey's going to, I don't know how much Christian McCaffrey we're going to get. I think that there might be a time in the not too distant future, perhaps even a week from now, or maybe even halfway through this game, because I think Ricky Pearsall is going off in this game. There might be a time where now Ricky Pearsall is getting double teamed, or Ricky Pearsall is getting that safety attention. And Ricky Pearsall is now the focus because he's the man-to-man beater. He's the one guy that if you take him away, the rest of the offense kind of just doesn't get into third gear, fourth gear. But if you have Pearsall and he's able to win in man-to-man, particularly on third downs, particularly against man-to-man, you have that. Now this thing's moving. Now you got grease in the treads. It's not Jake's knees. So I'm betting against other players and in turn, Ricky Pearsall's positive second half kind of works against him because now he's going to be getting more defensive attention. That's love a that. Long-winded way of
love,
saying
love
I'm
that
countering.
Take.
I'm countering.
So would you rather have, this is a question that has nothing to do with me personally. Would you rather have Romeo Doubs or Ricky Pearsall? In a PPR league. I'm not talking about player-wise. I'm talking about fantasy football.
Yeah, no, I pieced that together. Thank you. I think I'd rather have Pearsall.
I think so, too.
Because I think your argument was much more succinct and clear and straightforward. And I'm like, what if 14 things
I think it's
going
to take teams a while to look at a rookie and say, we got to have a totally different game plan.
Yeah. I'm with you. But, and I'll add one more thing. I mean, I don't know if the chemistry between Brock and Pearsall has really developed yet. I think you can see the early workings of it, but that's not to say it's going to get any better than this.
It feels slightly better early than it did with Ayuk early this season, which is not a pretty low bar.
So
what's the next one on the docket?
To that line, though, like if he can't get the chemistry going, then they'll just go somewhere else, and then you're not getting the attention from your own quarterback, much less the opposing defense. Second line, Leonard Floyd. Let's stick with the line, defensive line. Leonard Floyd has 3 sacks on the season. Does he have more than 3 sacks in the final 9 games or fewer?
I'll take the over. I'll take the over. And I'll
you don't
say
have to feel good about it.
Finishes with like 4.5. Finishes with 4.5 in the last 9. Gets, he's a cleanup guy. You know, hasn't he had double-digit sacks for the last, like, half decade?
Yeah, so, but the issue was he didn't have a sack in the final 8 games of the Buffalo Bills second half last year.
He did not look good.
I'm not going to lie. 2 of the sacks that Leonard Floyd has are fake. I don't know where they came from. I don't remember them. There hasn't been one time this season. Oh, no, there's been one time this season where Leonard Floyd has won on the line of scrimmage, gotten to a quarterback, and tackled him. Which is what I consider a sack.
I'll take like a Bosa pressure, something that forces the quarterback to step up, and he gets about 2, maybe 3 of those, and then like 2 off of actually winning.
Okay. The number's the number. If it's all fake sacks, it doesn't matter. I'm going under. I don't think they're playing Leonard Floyd much at all in a couple of weeks. I think Yetur Gross-Matos takes most of the snaps that Sam Ekwonu doesn't. And I think that Leonard Floyd is backing up Bosa as opposed to working opposite him for the remainder of the season. And in that case, he ain't getting any sacks because he's now required to create some pass rush pressure, which is something that I really haven't seen him do. I've been this is me holding on to my priors. I've been down on this Floyd thing since it was first floated. I'm not taking a victory lap yet because I'm very slow and haven't gotten around the track, but I'll see you at the finish line, folks, because I don't see this thing getting any better in the second half. And I do somewhat resent the concept of like, oh, he'll turn it on in the second half. The guy who's been in the league forever is going to just find a second gear. This is his second gear. Like, this is his second win, folks. Like, he's already shown you every... He didn't have it when he was fresh. What's going to happen now when he's been shipped a dozen times? You know? So, Leonard Floyd, I'm going under on 3 sacks. You're going over. Dre Greenlaw. Games played. There are 9. Thank you again for the correction. Remaining on the schedule. There is no time frame or window as of today to when Dre Greenlaw is coming back. Games played, 3.5, more or less.
Oof, because I think I'm going to guess that their window for him opens not next week, not the week after, but the week after that.
So Thanksgiving week.
3.5 is a great line.
That would, 3.5 means if we were to just give him the three, that's week 18, 17, and 16. That's Miami, week 16, 17, Detroit, 18, Arizona. Does he play against the Rams on Thursday Night Football on week 15? That's why the line is so diabolical. They bring him back on a short week to play the Rams, or do they wait, give him the mini bye, and they play him in Miami in week 16? Give me a more or less over under.
Oof. Man. Because I think he could play versus like the Bears, but I don't think he'll play versus the Rams. So it's either he's playing in five.
That's another wonderful layer of this. That's fucking diabolical. That's diabolical. I mean, and by the way, playing means takes a snap.
Correct.
I'm just saying, like, so he doesn't even need a full workload or anything.
Do we think in 5 weeks he's ready? Is the question I'm asking, basically. And Achilles are so tough, man.
Yeah, and I know Christian McCaffrey is going to play in week one, and they waited until the month of November.
I feel like you're going to take the under on this, so I'll take the over.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under on this. And the reason you know what? I'll take the over. Nice. I'll take the over. You want to take the under? Is that where your heart is?
I'll take the over.
Okay, well, I'll give you my reason for the over. At some point, they're going to be like, we don't care if his Achilles tendon tears again. We got to get Devondre Campbell off the goddamn field.
I also think Greenlaw's been starting to run like sort of full speed.
Faster than
we'll
Campbell?
We'll see. And he's also itching to get out there. I don't know. I'll say over. He returns against the Bears.
Okay. I got him coming back against the Rams on the short week. That's like the little like injection of positive. Hey, everybody's, we're so tired. We got to play the Rams and this and that.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Oh, here's Dre Greenlaw. Bam. Everybody's jacked up. Because
nice.
Like, you can't deny that the vibes around the team, because like McCaffrey's back and we got all these guys back. Like, it gets you a little bit more excited to play the game. By the way, Nick Bosa questionable for Sunday.
Yeah, it was just, it's a hip pointer and he was quote unquote extremely limited. I watched him jog in the locker room.
Yeah,
at the start of practice yesterday.
Super normal thing to do in a locker room, considering that he usually takes a scooter everywhere.
Jogging to the weight room. I've never seen him jog off the field. Shanahan's not sure how much he's going to play.
That's fun. Well, the Leonard Floyd prop is really showing up here.
He's concerned to a degree.
Aren't we all? He was probably hopping up and down too many times on Tuesday, messed up something in his hip. So Purdy interceptions. He had 7 in the first half, 6.5 in the second half. How do you feel about 6.5 interceptions?
6.5 Brock? Over 9 games.
Brock and Purdy.
Once again, these lines that are clearly set by professionals.
Thank you.
That's us, folks. Such good lines.
This line that was set after Jake sent me the topics about 3 minutes before we went on air. These lines, perfect.
We went over them a couple days ago.
That's true.
And then we let it marinate.
That's right.
6.5 interceptions for Brock Purdy the rest of the year. That's such a good line. I'm going to take the under. I feel like my heart is not with it, but I just... Those are the best kind of bets.
Plug your nose and place the ticket.
I just feel like the offense is going to be a lot better. It's going to be a lot easier for him if McCaffrey's out there. And he may force things a little less. Mm. And I say this still thinking he's going to have like a 2 interception, maybe really like rough game at one point. I'm going to take the under and say he has like exactly 6.
I like that. I'm going to go with the over. I think that weather is going to be a factor. Green Bay, Buffalo, not really actually Miami, but like, you know, listen, it could start raining here at any minute. You get Chicago and the Rams on a Thursday. Oh, right. Wouldn't it be beautiful to just have also, the nastiest weather on a Thursday night football game? On
yeah. Also, December 12th. One point. I think, and maybe the stats out there, but I do think interceptions fundamentally needs to be like, there needs to be a delineation. When you look at a touchdown, you look at an interception, we're at a point where we have a lot of advanced stats. We've got next gen metrics, we've got all this stuff. There needs to be a touchdown that was like a short pass. You complete it. There needs to be like some sort of metric that grades touchdowns. That's like, you made a good pass, or this was a dump screen and it went for a touchdown, and interceptions that are your fault versus a deflection versus something bad.
I vehemently disagree with this take. I disagree with this take because then what's the point of us if there's just a number? What's the point of us if there's
disagree with the number that I've argued for to say this stat that I want
you can make actually the stat.
I know I could. I sometimes I do.
Yeah, and then, that's what
and
I'm
then
saying.
I, and then I realize I.
But then that's proprietary. I don't want a third. I don't want some overlorded system to do this to where now you don't actually have to watch the tape because somebody has so perfectly distilled the film into a number. I still like the mystery of it all.
Next week, I will go through and I will.
Big time touchdown throws. You got to come up with a cool name.
I will decide which touchdowns and interceptions are on Purdy, which are not. It's also like how many incompletions should have been interceptions and how many touch, you know, because that's the other thing you got to look at.
Passes was a thing. There was an Irish
guy. That's the other part of it, you know, because I'm like, I dropped a touchdown, you know, so.
Yeah. I just don't care for subjectivity with empirical numbers. You know, it's kind of defeats the point of subjectivity. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
A lot of the reasons I listed off with the Pearsall thing. If Ricky Pearsall is clearly your number one wide receiver, you got some issues at wide receiver. And again, I like Cowing to have a really nice second half. I think he's going to explode. And I totally understand the argument for McCaffrey simplifying the offense. Hell, even having Garendo in there, giving Brock a safety valve. I would say his rushing yards are going to be down. But I don't think that Brock is gonna stop throwing interceptions here because his dudes can't separate. He's got one guy who has proven in a game and a half that he can separate as a wide receiver. That doesn't feel great. I do think they have two in that Cowing can separate, but Cowing can really just separate on like a speed out. Like that's his route. So if you're constantly having to throw the ball to Jennings, you're constantly having to throw the ball to Debo, we'll see how much man-to-man they get from here on out. But if teams just keep copying the blueprint of press, 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 blitz, 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 I think the interceptions are going to keep coming. And if they don't, and that is still the game plan, then Brock is having it. We'll be talking about Brock as a fringe MVP candidate at the end of the year.
Okay, so that's fair.
That works out.
No disagreement. How many more of these do we have?
We have two.
Okay.
Okay, so this one is a backdoor way of saying, when does Christian McCaffrey's Achilles rupture? You got to...
Don't do that.
Is that in bad taste? Okay.
Let's not do that
one. Isaac Garendo touches in the second half. So the Niners now ostensibly have three quality running backs. They have Jordan Mason, whose impact on the first half of this season will go underrepresented in the story of the 2024 campaign. He was the offense for several weeks, and his ability to break tackles was immense. But then Isaac Garendo comes around, and that's exactly what a Kyle Shanahan running back is supposed to look like, at least in a world where we didn't know what Christian McCaffrey was. And now, here's Christian McCaffrey. So you have all three of these guys, one of which who needed their workload diminished in Mason, one of which needs more workload, and then another one who would get all the workload if not for the fact that he couldn't work for 8 weeks. So how many touches does Isaac Garendo, who had 41 touches, that's receptions and carries, in the first half of the season, 17 against Dallas, 10 against Seattle being the standouts, how many touches, 41 in the first half, does Isaac Garendo get? I set the line at 85.
Oh, I'll take the under.
Okay.
Because as much as I kind of think Guerrero should be the preferred option over Mason, he just looked like he lost his juice.
Totally.
The last few games, and Guerrero looked outstanding. 85 is one where it's like he could go way under or way, way over that.
It won't be anywhere near 85. It's going to be 150 or 50.
100%. I'm going to take the under and say that they lean on Mason, even though I would disagree with that, just because he is trusted. And with McCaffrey back, they're going to go with their little circle of trust, even though I think Guerrero fundamentally changes them. And maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe they'll just lean on Guerrero.
I think that's a very accurate take. I think that that is the logical, sane, bettors take, which is they want to do thunder and lightning, and if they want to spell McCaffrey, it's so that they get somebody in there who's just going to run between the tackles and bash somebody's brains in. That would be the McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell. That would be, you know, down the line, how the 49ers have ideally wanted to do it. And that Mason would just slide into the quasi-Elijah Mitchell role. Except he's going to tear his Achilles tendon in week 13 against the Buffalo Bills. So that, sorry. I'm a terrible person. But when McCaffrey gets injured in week 13, you're going to need a second running back. And that will be Isaac Guerrero. And he's going to go over 85 touches in the second half. Terrible person. So we also wanted to do a line here on special teams DVOA. And we were like, oh, should it be 30 and a half or 31 and a half? And then I realized I'm not going to pay to see what the special teams DVOA is for the 49ers. So over under 9.5, how many times does David Lombardi tweet about the 49ers special teams DVOA? Which, by the way, when I Googled it, it was mostly David Lombardi tweets that showed up. You search 49ers special teams DVOA, that man has a cornered market. He's got it covered.
What does anyone think the calculations are like to acquire that number?
Well, I have to pay FTN like $9, I think, just to get the number.
Yeah. It's like some insane. I like that fantasy websites are the only ones that like have numbers now. They just have like major, they have giant staffs who are doing.
Well, that's on Football Outsiders, and then they got sold to some conglomerate, and so Schatz took all of that stuff. And then you go over, and it's like, well, what do you have? It's like, well, I have the DVOA calculations, and you go to a fantasy site, and they're like, yeah, we're not just going to give that away for free, which, fair play. Yeah, unlike this podcast, which is eminently free for terrible reasons. Right, frankly, we should have put it behind a paywall years ago. But because, I mean, the information is just so good. And the jokes and the camaraderie, my God. I mean, nothing like it. But,
that's right.
But I'm not. I can get defensive EPA. I can get all this stuff. There's some great data scientists out there working their Python scripts, giving us free information.
Right.
The DVOA stays locked behind a vault door. And you know, all the credit in the world to Lombardi. He's got it cornered because he's the only one willing to pay for it. He's putting it out into the marketplace. And we as per usual, wait with bated breath for his next tweet. So
I will say, to answer our question, I think the Niners, oh my God, it genuinely, that's actually really, I literally Googled special teams DVOA and I scrolled down and
Lombardi.
Like the, it's like the ninth result on this Google.
Say what you will about David Lombardi. I like David Lombardi on a personal level. He's always been very kind to me. I enjoy talking to him. I think he does a good job and all that. I'm not trying to get into any, we don't play that sort of media feud game. But I'll say this, no one's got the SEO game down better than David Lombardi right now. That man has found himself a corner and he is just, there's a pile of money and he's got the rake. Good for Dave Lombardi.
Respect. Wow. So I kind of thought it was a bit. It shows up.
Not a bit. Not a bit. I mean, it was a bit, but also all good bits are based in truth. What I'm going to say end of season DVOA when Lombardi tweets it out. I'm going to say that they are 31st. Do you take 30th?
I'm
going to
say 27th. You're taking the over. Suck it, Beater.
It has been, no thank you.
Folks, in the comments, what was your favorite special teams moment of this season? And who's your favorite special teams player of all time? let us know.
It can't be Matthew Slater, by the way.
And I swear, if this does not result in a name a guy in the comments, I'm going to be wildly disappointed in our viewership.
That's a great call. We will definitely do just a show of us remembering guys.
Name a special teams guy in the comment. That's what I'd like.
Fantastic. David Akers. And so we begin.
My number one name a guy of all time, any sport, is Jeremy Burnett.
Really? That's your go-to?
Spelled Jeromy. Played for the Mets for like 2 years.
We are all familiar with who Jeremy Burnett is.
Well, stud. Stone cold stud.
Okay. Who's my remember some guys go-to?
Wayne Corbett.
But I understand why you would go there. Cleo Lemon, former Dolphins quarterback. That's a good one.
Does he sell used cars now? I guess it'd be tough.
Really tough one. That'd be.
Yeah. I'll never sell you.
Lemon. I won't use my blue shoes joke there. It was a very never blue sell joke. You a lemon.
All right, folks. I think we've succinctly previewed 49ers Bucks and covered all of our bases. Please,
including
name
baseball.
A guy in the comments.
Name That's a guy. Right. I want name you to guy. Name a special teamers. And honestly, the weirder you get, the better. I want your third string safeties. I want your backup linebackers. I want your Nick Ballores. I want
the
all
winner. The winner, by the way, Nick Ballore, tied with DeMario Davis for the oldest linebacker in the NFL. That's right. Awesome stuff. The winner will get a shout out. That's all we have to offer. We'll probably just
if someone wants to leave us some money, we can give it to the winner.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. That's it. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. Bye.